The information in this skill is provided for informational and educational purposes only. Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Multiple Sclerosis Flash Briefings.
Hi, I'm Price Wooldridge, and you're listening to Multiple Sclerosis News Today's audio news. These are today's news highlights curated by our editorial staff. Visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. for more relevant news and patient perspectives. Second SPMS patient sees clinical gains with vorolumab treatment. Treatment with vorolumab nasal spray resulted in marketed clinical improvements after 3 months in the second secondary progressive multiple sclerosis patient treated under a single patient access program. The findings were generally consistent with those seen in the first SPMS patient and supported a decision by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration to allow up to 8 more patients to receive the experimental treatment. We are excited about the positive clinical responses seen in 2 out of 2 SPMS patients treated so far. Clinical data from both patients further validate our novel intranasal therapy with vorolumab, which seems to overcome the blood-brain barrier to allow therapeutic action of the drug. Kunwar Shalubi, CEO and Chief Scientific Officer of Tiziana Life Sciences, said in a press release, "Vorolumab is designed to reduce inflammation by targeting the CD3, a protein receptor on immune cells called T cells. In animal models, this binding suppressed the activity of inflammatory T cells, which are known to contribute to MS damage. It also boosted the function of regulatory T cells, which can dampen the inflammatory activity of other immune cells. The medication, delivered into the nostril via a spray, is being studied in SPMS in single-patient access programs at the Brigham and Women's Hospital, or BWH. Patients are receiving a dose of 50 micrograms into each nostril in 3-week cycles, 3 doses each week for 2 weeks, followed by 1 week of rest. The first SPMS patient who received the treatment was having continuous disease progression despite taking several MS disease-modifying therapies. After 6 months of treatment, improvements were seen in validated measures of walking ability, cognition, and dexterity. Microglial cells, the resident immune cells of the brain that have been shown to contribute to nerve damage and disability in SPMS, were also less active on positive emission tomography, or PET scans, across all parts of the brain. Depending on the brain region, reductions range from 20 to 25% at 3 months and 36% to 50% at 6 months. The second patient was diagnosed with SPMS in 2014 and had progressively worsening disability for the next 8 years. PET scans also showed a 10% to 30% reduction in microglia activation after 3 months of treatment, compared with the changes seen in the first patient. A neurological examination of the patient also showed improvements after 3 months, along with gains in the 25-foot walk test time. Tiziana did not provide details about these improvements. Both patients are continuing their treatment regimen with the experimental therapy. They have been receiving treatment for 13 and 4 months. The treatment has been well tolerated by both. We are very pleased by both the biological and clinical improvement observed in the second patient after treatment with intranasal vorolumab for 3 months, which provides confirmation that the intranasal dosing modulates the systemic immune response and, in turn, dampens brain inflammation. Howard Weiner, MD, director of the Multiple Sclerosis Program at BWH, said, Weiner is also chairman of Tiziana's Scientific Advisory Board. It is encouraging to see the consistency of response between the first and second patient, and that treatment was well tolerated, Weiner said. The data from these 2 patients is supporting vorolumab's use in 8 additional SPMS patients. Participants in this trial will receive the same regimen, but their dose may be increased to 100 micrograms to realize more gains. Tiziana anticipates enrolling the 3rd patient in July, and data from all 10 patients are expected in 2023. It announced in another press release. Therapies to slow progression in multiple sclerosis are much needed, as there are only a few options for non-active SPMS. I look forward to treating more patients under this same protocol. Tanja Chitness, MD, professor at Harvard Medical School and neurologist at BWH and Massachusetts General Hospital, said, This news article was written by Marissa Wexler, MS, on June 15, 2022. Click the link in the description below to read more on this and other topics of interest on the MS News Today's website. The MS Wire, a column by Ed Tobias published on June 17, 2022. She disclosed her illness and got the job. It's a decision most of us with a chronic illness have to make sooner or later. When do we disclose our illness and to whom and how do we do it? 31-year-old Katie Coleman faced that decision not long ago. Coleman has stage 4 kidney cancer, and in April, she was being interviewed for a software developer's job she wanted. To tell or not to tell? That was the question. The number of people advising me to not disclose my diagnosis is astounding, Coleman posted on Twitter. People with multiple sclerosis know why that was the case. Although the Americans with Disabilities Act prohibits most employers from asking about a medical condition on an application or an interview, many of us worry that a potential employer may be scared off by the thought that we may need a special accommodation or that we'll take more than the usual number of sick days. The risk of unemployment for people with MS can be high. I chose to disclose once. I understand the concerns about disclosing. When I was diagnosed with MS many years ago, I managed about 50 people at work. I thought they should know why their boss had been in the hospital for about a week and why I might have to take more time off in the future. So I held a staff meeting and told everyone. 4 months later, I was fired. Coincidence? Fortunately, I was hired for my next job by someone I'd worked for prior to my diagnosis. He knew my diagnosis and my work. Everyone should be that fortunate. What if you wait? One of my go-to places for disclosure information is the Job Accommodation Network, or JAN, at West Virginia University. Its website recommends waiting to disclose your MS until you actually need an accommodation, such as a nearby parking spot or voice recognition software. If you do decide to disclose, the website recommends that you only provide the most basic information about your illness and the possibility that you might ask for some type of accommodation down the road. Former Multiple Sclerosis News Today columnist Tamara Selman did not disclose her MS several years ago when she interviewed for a job following her MS diagnosis. She did, however, disclose it after she was offered and accepted the position. At the suggestion of a JAN staffer, she disclosed it to her employer's human resources department rather than her supervisor. Katie Coleman's situation was a little unique. She told Kaiser Health News, KHN, that she was called by a hiring recruiter who had seen Coleman's tweets about her cancer diagnosis. In her interview with the company's CEO, Coleman wasn't asked about her illness, but she was upfront about it. "My diagnosis is my greatest strength, not a weakness," she tweeted after she got the job. Would you be upfront about your MS? Most of Coleman's Twitter followers say they would disclose their illness, posting comments on our feed such as, "Congratulations on your new job. No reason to keep your diagnosis a secret. Yes to this. This is how I feel." In the HR world, they often say, bring your whole self to work. Hiding this part of you would cause you more problems than being truthful. I agree with them. On the other hand, Coleman told KHN, it might not be the right path for everyone. My advice is to first do the research on the company that you want to work for and know that they will be supportive, she said. To read more columns by Ed Tobias and our other contributors, visit our website at multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. Follow the link in the description below. This is MS News Today's audio news. Subscribe to our channel to never miss an episode. And if you're listening on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts, hit save. Thanks for tuning in.
The information in our flash briefings and podcasts are provided for informational and educational purposes only. Be sure to tune in daily to Multiple Sclerosis News Today for the latest news and perspectives regarding the disease. Discover more content that might be of interest to you at www.multiplesclerosisnewstoday.com. And be sure to follow us on social media and join our Multiple Sclerosis News Today forums, a trusted MS community ready to welcome you anytime.